was in Revelation. We're looking at this section that is referred to as the apocalyptic vision that goes from chapter 4 all the way through chapter 16. And basically we're looking at this, what is referred to by some as a pageant of divine judgments. There are revelations of judgments that are coming and so forth. And that's what this whole thing is about. Judgments of God upon the world of wickedness, basically chapter 6 through chapter 11. We started a couple of weeks ago in the section that is focusing on opening of the seven seals. Right? And in particular, the part that we are focusing on specifically right now is what is often referred to as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Right? Chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Now, the last time, 2 weeks ago, we began looking at all of this, and we looked at the first horseman that came out, the white horse and the rider with the bow. We talked about that and saw that the rider in the scriptures is described or referred to as who? Okay, no, not this particular one. Referred to as Christ himself, remember? Okay, on the white horse. All right, so this morning we're going to continue on. We look at the second horse, and this one is a red horse. Okay, now keep in mind something we had talked about in the previous part, kind of setting all of this up in terms of, you know, the prophecies and all the specific meanings of them, and specifically the attempt to try to foretell the future using these prophecies. It's not a good thing to do, okay? Again, one of the main things to keep in mind is that we're talking about symbolism. We're looking at the symbolism. What would the people in the original audience that John wrote for back in the first century, what was the symbolism, the meaning to them? How would they have understood these things? And then us to use that same symbolism to try to get what is the meaning for us today. In all of this, we have to keep in mind, what is the main theme of the entire book of Revelation? Kathy? Okay, we look at the situation that they had back then. When these words were first recorded, things were bad. They were going to get worse, okay? Yeah. They have gotten worse over and over and over time, haven't they?
Yes.
But the end of time shows us that victory is assured. No matter what we go through, no matter what happens, yeah, the victory in Christ is assured. And that's the main purpose of this whole book, okay? It is not intended to predict future events and for people to be able, as we looked at last time, people to be looking at and go, oh, this means this and this means that, and so, you know, the time is here. It's going to happen today or tomorrow. We're trying to, and many have tried doing that, only to be shown foolish as the date that they pick out kind of comes and goes, and we're still here and things are still going on. Again, keep in mind that we're looking at this to understand it from that perspective, knowing that, you know, it's telling us, yes, the situation in the world is bad, and it's going to get worse. But the encouragement is for us to hold on, to maintain our faith, do not lose faith in Christ, because he's already won the victory for us. And that victory is assured to those who remain faithful to him. So, again, just reminders of that. Keep that in mind as we continue looking at these things. The pale horse, I mean the red horse, rather. Okay? The second seal. A red horse went out, and to him who sat on it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that man would, and that man would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. What kinds of things would this idea of a red horse and this rider symbolize? In other words, people looking at that, what would those things say to them? Okay, yeah, a red horse. This idea, this fiery kind of red horse indicates persecution. Okay, danger, blood, death, all of those kinds of symbols would come to mind to those who were reading these things, all right? Now, the rider is said to be given some specific things. First of all, given power to take peace from the earth, okay? Now, stop and think about it for a minute. Every time they have a beauty pageant, you know, and they're interviewing the contestants and they ask them what they want to have happen in the world, what's their number one answer? World peace. Everybody wants world peace, right? You see? That's simply, we talk about, you know, we want peace on earth. But this particular rider is given the power to take peace from the earth. Now, Jesus at one point said he did not come to bring peace, but what? A sword.
A sword.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So we have to understand this whole concept here. You know, we want world peace, right? We look at the world today and we see all of the war that's going on. We see all of the struggles that are happening, the conflicts worldwide, you know, the terrorism that's happening. Is there a measure at all, do you think, of world peace? Not really. Okay. But yet we still want world peace, don't we? I think the reality of it is, and the message that we need to understand is, there's not going to be world peace. Okay, we can ask for it, we can want it all we want to, but that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen any more than everybody's going to start behaving themselves and start, you know, living their lives, you know, morally in the way they're supposed to. The fact is, we live in an evil, wicked world. That's the reality. And it is not going to get better, okay? Why? Because it's going to get worse, okay? That's the theme of it. The world belongs to Satan in terms of the influence that he has on mankind in that way. We have to understand that is the reality of it. That's not pessimistic. It's not saying, oh, let's give up on the world. That's the reality that the scriptures teach us. Okay? So therefore, we shouldn't be surprised when bad things happen in the world, should we? You know, because we're talking about people who are evil and wicked in the world. So it shouldn't surprise us when people are doing bad things. And it shouldn't surprise us that we don't have world peace, even though we've been trying to get it for, you know, for a long time. It's not going to happen. Satan is working overtime to prevent world peace from taking place. Okay? And that is the reality of the situation in the world, and has been since before John wrote these words. Okay? Right?
As Christ is mentioned, he came to not to bring peace but a sword, and he concerning turning mother against daughter, father against son, and particularly when it comes to religion. Many people, you know, I know for a fact that there are those who obey the gospel, but they got a lot of grief, a lot of strife from family members. You know your grandma was a member of that Baptist church over years ago, and you done left? What's the matter with you? You know, it's got Christ predicted it. He said it. And we need to believe it. And Paul talks about it in 1 Timothy.
Absolutely.
He talks about that.
The fact of the matter is, and what Jesus refers to, is that there is one to be division over the truth of his word.
Yeah.
Even within families.
Yeah.
Okay? And his desire was not to come and bring compromise where people would just learn to get along. And as the popular saying is today, let's coexist, you know, with all the different religious ideas and so forth. That was never his intention. See? He said he came not to bring peace, but a sword. There's going to be division over that. All right? That is the reality and the truth, Captain. Say, well, let's not ever pray for good things to happen. That's not the point. Can there be peace that comes between groups of people that are at war right now? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But does that mean that there's going to be world peace and everybody all of a sudden is just going to get along with everybody and start doing what God wants them to do? No, that's not going to happen. Should we pray for peace, you know, with North Korea, for instance? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with doing that. You know, we don't want to have war with them, okay? But that doesn't mean that, you know, that's ever going to really happen. It's going to depend on what God decides to do with it, because he's still in charge, right?
Amen.
Okay? Everybody says he's going like this. God's still in charge, right? Okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, but again, you know, we want to pray certainly for the people that are struggling in those circumstances and situations that you know, where, you know, I pray for the people in North Korea that have to live under that, you know, and so forth, that, you know, where, you know, Christianity is against the law and people are dying in North Korea because of their Christianity. It is illegal to own a Bible in North Korea, okay? And you can be killed for that. Exactly. He is the God of everyone. Okay? So I don't want you thinking, well, you know, quit praying for these good things to happen because they're not going to happen. That's not what I'm really saying. What I'm saying is just we need to understand the reality that the world is declining in terms of morality and sin and all of those things. That's what the Bible is predicting. It's not going to get really good all of a sudden. Everybody's going to do it and then God's going to go, oh, okay, well, I won't destroy the world, but that's not going to happen. But that's what a lot of people believe. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what Revelation teaches. You see? It is declining. It's going to. In fact, we looked at, I think it was the last class that we had, you know, when Peter talks about the destruction of the world, that's coming, right? And he says that we should do what? Yeah, and we need to be working to speed its coming, he says. Well, you mean I should be praying that the world is destroyed? Yes. Yes. Because that's what's going to be happening. Okay? You say, I want to live forever. That's not going to happen, okay? That's not reality. Is this being pessimistic? No, no, it's not.
No.
It's being realistic. That's what the Bible teaches us. You say we have to understand that. The point is not to get us all upset to go, oh, woe is me, the world is wrong. No, the point is, just like it was for them, to realize the state of the world as it is, that it is not going to get better, it's going to get worse, But that in the midst of it, whatever is going on, whatever we are facing, that we don't lose faith and hope in God. That's the message, you see. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter how declined the world gets, how depraved it gets, we need to hold on to God and not lose faith. You see? And yes, we need to be praying for those folks that are in those circumstances that perhaps somehow they can come to know the Lord before they die. You see? Because that's really what this is all about. Okay? And the thing that so many are teaching today where, you know, God is a God of love and He loves everybody, and so He's going to, in the end, He's going to save everybody and it's all going to turn out rosy and everything. That is not reality.
No.
Okay? That is not biblical reality at all. That's wishful thinking. You see? From people who really don't want to live the way that God called upon them to live. The reality is that this world, and we've studied over and over again in different contexts, this world is going to be destroyed as we know it. Okay? And Jesus warned while He was here, you don't know when that's going to happen, so be ready. Okay? Because it is going to happen.
Right? Right. I did want to say real quick that the psalm that I love, one of the psalms I love, "This world is not my home, and just passing through." Yeah. I treat it all so much beyond the blue. I love that song. Because that's what we need to be looking forward to. Oh yeah, I heard that die. But when God calls, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. And I just love that. I love that about that particular song. Because this world is not our
home. It's not a permanent dwelling.
No.
Absolutely. Well, as we look at this rider and this power to take peace from the earth, how is this accomplished? Well, peace is taken by making men slay each other. Alright, now, interesting that the word in the Greek language, the original language for slay here, okay, spazo, means to sacrifice or slaughter. Now the reason that's so significant is because it does not really refer to war, but rather to persecution. Right? So it's not focused as much on the whole idea, though we see it happening all over the world, this idea of, you know, wars going on and so forth, but rather it has more to do with the idea of persecution that is taking place. Again, yeah. Keep in mind, who is this book written to? The Christians, right? The Christians who are experiencing what?
Persecution.
Okay? And so that's really what this is focusing on. That there's going to be more and more persecution going on. And persecution, we've talked about it many times, is more and more coming even here to America. It's happening. If you belong to Christ, you are a faithful follower of Christ, you are going to face persecution. Okay? It's happening. And it's going to happen more and more. Found this on here. 75% of persecution around the world, okay, is focused upon Christians.
Christian. Yeah.
75% of it. We look at the world and what's going on in the world, and much of the war that is taking place right now is going on where in terms of the war? In terms of the world. It's going on over in the Middle East, in the Bible lands, right?
Yeah.
And what is the primary focus of all of that war that's going on? It's religious persecution. I mean, at its very basic point, it's religious persecution. Do what now? Well, the conflicts that are going on, and by the way, you know, we can get all upset with the Muslims and say, oh, they're terrible people because, you know, they're persecuting Christians. You know, that's a bad thing, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. But, you know, we can just go back and look at the history of the world. We can see that there were times when Christians certainly, you know, persecuted those who were not Christians because they were trying to force people to accept Christianity. Okay, so that persecution religiously, you know, has gone on with different groups. You know, in other words, Christians are not innocent of all of that, at least those who claim to be Christians, okay? There's been religious persecution going on forever, okay? Abel killed his brother, Cain killed his brother Abel because of what? Jealousy over what? Religion. Practicing of what? Sacrificing God. Okay? It's been going on since the beginning of time. And it's going to what?
Continue.
It's going to continue going on. Okay? That's part of the thing. But again, the focus of this particular horse here and rider is this idea, it appears to be, having to be about persecution. In fact, the persecution is going on. It's going to continue going on. It was going on in the first century when John first recorded these words. And it's still going on today. And it's going to get worse. Okay? It is going to get worse. Now, one of the things about this rider on this horse is that he was given power. Okay? Says he was given this power. So, in other words, he could not do what he was going to do unless God allowed him to do it. Which is, again, another thing that we've got to, it's a reminder to us, who's in charge of the world?
God.
Okay? So nothing goes on without God allowing it to go on.
Absolutely.
Well, that means we have a really bad God because he allows all the bad stuff to go on in the world, right?
Wrong.
Why is it wrong? Because it is. Well, it is wrong. But we need to understand it. And it is an important question. These people use that. Well, you know, if God's in charge of everything, why don't you just stop all this, you know, evil from happening? Right? What's the answer to that?
It's all about choice.
Free will. Okay? Could God stop it all?
Yes.
Yes. And one day he will, right?
Yes.
Okay? When's that going to happen? When he's ready.
When he's ready.
Okay? No. Not when we're tired of it and we decided it needs to end now. It's going to happen when he's ready. That's when the Lord's going to come back again and all of it will stop. In the meantime, God allows for it to go on because he gave man a free will. And men have to choose whether to follow him or to reject him. And
Amen.
Those who choose to reject God are living an evil life. Okay? And that's the reason that it continues to go on. Alright? Because when it stops, that's going to be the end of it all. And God's not ready for it to stop yet. Why? Because he is not willing or wanting anyone to perish. Okay? He is patient.
Yes,
and that's why he's given us the job of doing what? To speed the coming, okay, of the Lord. To speed the time when it will all this evil will end. Okay? And we do that by sharing the gospel with as many people as we can, giving them the opportunity to choose to exercise their free will, to choose to obey God. Okay, Brian?
You can also remember, because I think the Lord is getting further and further away from him. It's following him under his terms.
Right.
Not just saying I'm following him, not just saying I'm going to follow this or that. Right. Because like we talked about Sunday, we talked about it many times, we're carrying a cross that's designed for one thing. Right. And after suffering and dying, are we willing to suffer and die for it? Like, it's not an easy task, it's a spiritual warfare. And a lot of times we don't want to accept that that's what each day is supposed to be ready for battle and spiritual warfare.
Be ready for that day when it comes.
saying, how many wars have you ever seen that they knew the outcome of at the beginning of the war?
Yeah.
In ours, we know the outcome. Yeah. We know the victory's already won.
The free is assured. It's guaranteed. Okay. So, he's been given this power. Okay, again, we kind of go to those kind of questions. Well, then, you know, God gives power, why didn't he stop it all and so forth? There's another incident from the scriptures that we can go back to and realize that again, the message here is plain. The story of Job is all about what? What is it about?
Well, it's proof that Israel stayed in Christ.
Right? But ultimately, isn't the story of Job all about who's in charge of the world? Okay? It's God. And that's the main part of the message, is that God says, look, I'm the one who decides what goes on and what doesn't. And we can look at that and go, well, again, that God is cruel for allowing Job to go through that. And Job kind of went to God, I'm paraphrasing here, you know, God, why'd you do this to me? Right? You know, kind of complaining to God. He did. Alright, but yeah. I can read it. He complained to God. Well, what did I do to you, God? Why did you pick on me? And God's answer basically was what? We don't like this answer, by the way. Do what, Chuck?
Oh,
I thought you said something.
No.
God's answer basically was, because I'm God, and I can. Okay? Now, again, we need to understand that God's not trying to prove, you know, that he can play with people's lives. That's not his point. His point is to establish in people's minds his sovereignty over, help me out here, everything, okay? Including Satan, okay? You go back and you look, okay? Go to Job and look at what's going on. Satan, you know, all the angels are kind of gathering around, and Satan is there in the presence of God, and, you know, what are you doing? Well, I'm just kind of going to and fro. And God says, have you considered my servant Job?
Yeah.
Satan's answer basically was, well, yeah, but, you know, there's nothing I can do with you because you're protecting him. Right?
That's what he said.
Okay. I'll, you know, take my protection off of it. Mm-hmm. But what? You cannot, I tell you, you can read that at the very bottom there. You must read that, but you can read it on this one. You must not touch Job himself. In other words, God declares his sovereignty by saying, I can tell you how far you can and can't go.
Amen.
Amen. Well, so Job does his thing with, or Satan does his thing with Job, takes his family, everything away from him, right? And yet, Job does what? How does he respond? The Lord give it, and the Lord take it away. Let's bring it to
God.
Right? Well, then Satan gets another try at it. Comes back again. You're still protecting him. Well, you can touch his wife, but you can't kill him. Again, God expressing what? His complete power and sovereignty. You can only go as far as I allow you to go, Satan.
Amen.
And no further. Okay? And so we need to understand, and the message there, again, is the sovereignty of Almighty God. He is God of the universe, over everything that exists in this universe, good and evil. Okay? And the reason that that message is so important is because it should give us hope.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of an evil world that we live in. That God is in charge. Because our tendency as human beings is to look at what's going on in the world and go, God's lost control. He hasn't lost control of anything. Okay? But in his sovereignty, he is allowing Satan to operate within certain parameters. and as bad as things seem, Satan can still only go as far
as God
allows him. And one thing that should give every one of us hope is to know that Satan cannot pull you against your will away from Christ.
Amen.
See? Jesus declared that when he called us his sheep and said, what? No one can snatch them out of my hand. Okay. So in the midst of all of the persecution and the struggles and the garbage that goes on in the world around us, God wants us to know and to be reassured that he is still in charge. That he is sovereign in this world. Any other thoughts or comments on that? Any other comments? Questions? Wes? But when you go back and you look at Job through all that he suffered, though he questioned God, what did Job never do? He never lost his faith, did he?
Nope.
He questioned God and said, you know, okay, God, I don't understand, you know, why I'm having to go through this. But he never lost his faith in God. Even when his wife said what? First, God has died, okay? Just give up on him. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yeah. I'm not going to give up on God. No matter what I have to face. And in, you know, for those first century Christians that were struggling with, you know, the stuff that was going on in the world, the persecution and things that they were enduring at the time, they needed that same message. No matter how bad it gets, don't give up on God. See? Absolutely. And so, yeah, even where we're going through, and Kathy, you were asking earlier about, you know, when we pray about these things, so forth, you know, yeah, let's pray about the struggles and situations going on. We've talked about that many times, that perhaps God will lift that struggle from us. Okay, maybe we learn whatever God wants us to learn, you know, in that particular situation. Maybe he's trying to teach us something. Okay, we learned it. God will answer that prayer and lift that from us, or whatever his purpose is. But the main message is, just don't give up. Don't lose faith. Okay? And by the way, since we're talking about Job, okay, be careful of your quote-unquote friends
who
will advise you. Okay? All right? Job had three friends, didn't he?
Yeah.
And their advice wasn't much good. Why? Because they were not focused on the right. Okay? And oftentimes we'll find our friends telling us we should do this or do that or whatever the case may be. We need to listen to, okay, and hold on to. Chuck, do it again, but. Being pessimistic because things are so bad in the world. It's a matter really of being, you know, first of all, realistic, okay? But it is also a matter of being very positive in that no matter what goes on in the world, I know where I'm going. You know, I don't have to worry about that. Okay? No matter how bad things get. I was preparing for this lesson and looking over some different, you know, things in terms of persecution. You go on there and just do a Google search or a Bing search of persecution, just put that on there. You know, there's all kinds of pictures of present-day persecution, and lots of them are, you know, at the hands of ISIS, and there's some really atrocious stuff that those folks have done to Christians simply because they're Christians, okay? And so, you know, we can get overwhelmed by, you know, the bad news, but the positive of that is, again, remembering, you know, God's got this under control. And we have to remember, ultimately, in the end, the victory is assured, no matter how bad it gets. Ryan?
We said it earlier, God gives that type of way. We've got to remember putting on the back gate. He gives us blessings all the time. He blesses us constantly. There'll be times when we take it away and we're suffering. So we've got to realize those are the constant blessings now.
Yeah, and you know, another thing that we have to keep in mind about, you know, the struggles, the suffering that we go through and so forth, is that a lot of times I'm convinced that God uses different events in our lives to prepare us for future events. As we go through this one, we gain strength, we gain grace, we gain faith, and, you know, and experience and so forth, that the thing that's going to happen in the future, that it's not even on our radar screen, but it's on God's, because He knows everything, that He knows that without this circumstance that I'm facing, I'm not going to be able to be ready to handle that next one. And so I'm allowed to go through this one that strengthens me, builds me up, builds my faith and so forth, that when that bigger thing comes along, I'm much stronger and much in much better shape and position to face that than I otherwise would.
I saw something that was pretty mysterious this week. And then Sister Kathy was talking about bad news. He was a black 31-year-old man that got caught out there in the water. Mm-hmm. No guy out there filming it and laughing. And that man drank. I mean, what in the world were they thinking? And they're going to pay for it. I think they're kind of pressing some type of charges because, you know, sometimes you need to. No, I don't swim, but Lord knows I wouldn't want to see nobody drink. Yeah. You know, I do something. He did it a few weeks ago. They had a whole chain of folks, pull a whole family out of the water. You know? I mean, I don't understand the mind of some folks.
Well, again, you know, what does it tell us about society that, you know, finds humor in somebody that's actually dying?
Yeah.
And we, you know, look at that and, you know, so forth. But again, keep in mind, it tells us, you know, again, things are, what? They're bad.
Right.
They're going to get worse. All right. Again, we should, you know, it's appalling to us, those things. But, you know, it's appalling to me. Cindy and I were talking yesterday as we were driving back. You know, she read a thing on there. I know we're out of time here, but real quickly, you know, what is it? Melinda or Belinda Gates, the wife of Bill Gates, that just gave $300 and some million to Planned Parenthood. And I look at that and I go, you know, what kind of a society? You know, we have federal laws protecting unborn turtles, but we just, you know, don't have a problem killing innocent unborn children. There's no laws to protect them. What does that say about us as a society? It says we're, as a society, we're terrible. Okay? But it also, we need to be reminded that God is in control of everything.
He is there. Yeah.
Okay, we're way out of time here. Thank you very much. I would encourage you to continue reading on. We're going to talk about the black horse and the pale horse next time. All right? Thank you all very much.